usanews.com.
Becky.
Yes, Sam.
Mike.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Sam.
How you doing?
Fine.
So, I have this really great new ringtone I want to play for you.
Tell us your ringtone, Sam.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm just going to play it for you.
Should
all right,
we call
are you,
you
guys? No. I've got it queued up because of technology. All right, here we go.
He will not be mocked.
Please, sweetie.
He will not be mocked.
Don't touch me.
Come on. He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here.
Come on, sweetheart.
Is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No. It would not have been.
Get that officer right there.
The Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God.
Molly, come on.
You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Your government and work, ladies and gentlemen.
You all paid for that.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And during the vote to reopen the House of Representatives, the video behind the C-SPAN vote count included surreptitious gavel banging and a woman being forcibly escorted off the stage. What we couldn't hear was a rant straight out of a southwestern desert compound. A House of Representatives stenographer, Diane Reedy, complained about Freemasons writing the Constitution and how the United States is not one nation under God. In a later interview on Fox News, she said that she was called upon Jesus to disrupt Congress, and that she couldn't feel better. She has been sent for a mental exam, and the future status of her employment is presently unknown.
Mm-hmm. So Miss Diane was... I heard people talking about, come on, Molly, come on. Come on now, Molly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know who the Molly person is.
Probably
I don't know
security,
who
security, probably.
Being the huge nerd that I am, I was actually watching C-SPAN while this was going on, because C-SPAN is one of the things that I watch. And so I'm watching the votes happen, and then in the middle, they just start... Yeah, somebody starts... you know, wanging on the gavel, and people are moving around, and there's this lady who looks like she's performing Shakespeare in the park. But the thing is, there was no microphone on her. I guess they cut the mics that were pointed at the dais, or whatever you call that. And so I'm like, what was that going on? And then I'm on Facebook a little bit later and says, dude, check out this article. And it turns out that what that was, I actually saw it happen.
And this is the rip from that microphone.
Yeah, this was, I think, a congressional staffer who got this. So, yeah, your government at work, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with that one.
Well, she's right that this is not one nation under God.
Of course.
This is 50 states and a District of Columbia and several protectorates all united, but
yeah,
not necessarily under God.
The thing that I find really interesting about this is that the people on Fox News who are talking about this really had their work cut out for them, because they had to try to spin this one as somebody who isn't just, again, a crazy person who wandered in off the street, because she's not.
Yeah.
She's the official House stenographer. She's the one who types everything out.
Yeah.
And
I figured they'd have a core. Do they really just have the one?
I imagine that they maybe have different ones, and this is just one for the day, maybe.
Okay,
but
yeah,
either way, she is a government employee,
mm-hmm,
and basically went up there and said what people often say when they're on a street corner with a cardboard sign.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if now, I hate to be all conspiracy theory, but I'm going to get conspiracy theory here. Well, it's not really a conspiracy theory because it's just her. But I kind of wonder if that's why she got, like, this was all a big ruse. Like, I'm going to wait for an important political moment in U.S. political history and then shout about Freemasons for 10 minutes while everybody's busy voting.
Has anyone ever been convinced by an angry speech by a crazy person? Aside from in the movie Network?
Yeah, I was about to say Network.
But that was a movie, too.
I imagine some people are convinced by Alex Jones, if our email box is to be any indicator.
I can't imagine anyone's convinced by him screaming who isn't already convinced by him when he's just in print form, which I imagine would still be in all caps.
Yeah, let's see, people screaming.
But the Fox News people was really weird, because they're trying to make her out to be a folk hero.
Yeah.
That this is somebody, rather than just a crazy person, this is somebody... who is like standing up for something as if there's something in this country that's illegal about saying religious nonsense, which is not true. You're free to do it on street corners.
No,
all the
religion
time.
Religion is banned from the House of Representatives. Didn't you know that? That's why they open up every session with a prayer.
That's why you hear this stuff from your elected officials fairly often.
Yeah.
Who say crazy nonsense on a fairly daily basis. We have there's 435 members of the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
So there's at least 10 of them that have the same attitude as this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not shy about sharing it, and they don't go to jail for it. They get mocked for it. You know, we will, you know, he will not be mocked. Yes, but you will.
And so yeah. I would like to take up a collection and send her, you know, to help her out. This is somebody who clearly needs our help. And so this is somebody I think we should send off into a future career. So we should save up and send her some sandwich boards.
Okay.
So yeah, the end is nigh. You know, the usual stuff.
That she can wear, draped over her
while
body.
She does her stenographer thing. Yeah.
So occupation:drifter?
Perhaps.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Angry drifter?
Oh,
here's the thing. I also saw, you know, some of the aftermath of this, if you will, and her husband was interviewed and says, I stand by my wife, and she's I'm proud of her for standing up for this. You know, and it just seems so strange that you have this sort of chorus of cheerleaders, of boosters saying, you know, yes, this was an amazing thing that you did. I mean, she was quoted as saying, I've never felt better. I couldn't feel better about saying what I said in the middle of the
Let's get
government.
And if she gets fired for it, then she gets to be a martyr,
exactly.
Too, which is what she wants.
But let's stretch our minds a little bit. I can imagine that she feels better. I can completely buy that, because let's be honest. She has these ideas that Freemasons infiltrated the U.S. in the very early stages and decided to turn the United States into Freemason land, which is why every male over 18 years old needs to be a member of the Freemasons.
The Lucifocracy?
Right, yeah. And
that was sarcastic,
you know, and so
right,
you've
Sam?
Been,
you're not actually a Freemason?
And so you've been... I can't answer that. I plead the Fifth Amendment. And so you can't... say these things because you work for Mammon or whatever, and so these things keep pushing on you and pushing on you and pushing on you, and then finally you go, I'm mad and can't take it anymore, and then you run up there and start screaming. I imagine it, you know, it feels good. It's like a tension breaker. It had to be done.
It's weird because you have people who seriously have this ideology that tells them that despite the fact that religious fundamentalism is a powerful wing of the United States government,
yeah,
you know, unofficially. And these people are very well represented in all levels of power. And, I mean, even, you know, Justice Scalia going off about the devil and hell recently. So you can't say that you're a picked-upon group that's been forced to live in little camps. So, but there's this general conspiratorial, I guess you could say, you know, fringy.
Well,
kind
it gets
of.
A little bit better than that, because the interesting thing here that one of the interesting things, this whole thing is fascinating to me. The Masons were not one nation under God because it was created by a Freemason, but to be a Freemason, you have, all kidding aside, I'm not, because you have to believe in a God to be a Freemason.
Yeah.
So no atheists allowed.
And most of them are Christians.
There's a really good book that I enjoy by
Blink.
A British journalist named John Ronson,
yeah.
And it's called Them, Adventures with Extremists.
Oh, I was wondering if you're going to reference that one, yeah.
Yeah, Them, Adventures with Extremists by John Ronson. I highly recommend it. And he generally hangs out with people who are labeled as extreme.
Yeah.
And he kept hearing Freemason over and over again. So he just went to go talk to some. And they thought it was funny because they said, we can't even put on our annual breakfast because, you know, if we can't pull that off without a hitch, how do you expect us to run the entire world and everything in it? But it's a really great book because the title comes from this idea that despite the fact that he'd hang out with Islamists and PC-style KKK members,
yeah,
and Alex Jones and David Icke, the one thing that all of these people from all these different parts of the political spectrum had in common was that they all believed there was this tiny group of people that controlled the world. They just all disagreed on who it was. And when I see this lady here, I see that mentality. She just believes that these evil, satanic Freemason types are controlling the world. And her and this small group of congressmen are the people fighting back. And despite the fact you have all this power, you still have this this victim mentality of being under siege, even though you really are the
wall.
She
would have worked with other people in that building if she thought if there were any of them on her side. She clearly saw her. I mean, okay, I'm really projecting here. I have nothing to back this up. But it really felt like this is one woman against the world Freemason conspiracy. And yeah. It was just so... oh, wow.
Everyone wants to think that they're, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington, when really it's just you're the most uncomfortable person at the bus stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here the thing is that she felt that she had been called upon by Jesus to disrupt Congress. And if anyone had said, I felt that I was called upon by Zeus to disrupt Congress, no one would be paying her any credence or giving her an interview on anything.
I also note that she was called upon by Jesus to disrupt Congress, but she didn't disrupt Congress while Congress was happening. She waited until, you know,
Congress wasn't happening.
Congress was busy playing with their iPhones or whatever they
vote on.
Well,
she wouldn't have been
days.
Able to make it to the microphone if she was. Let's just say that John Boehner was talking and she wanders
up. I bet
up
you she would have made it to the microphone. I bet you she would.
I don't think so.
They would have been stunned. She would have made it to the microphone. She wouldn't have been there as long because security, the ombudsman, would be just like, okay, done. Let's get this out of here.
I mean, despite the fact that you're watching C-SPAN at this time, most people aren't. Most people are just looking at the numbers on like the CNN website.
Yeah.
How's the vote going? But in this case, I think she went up there when nobody was looking. The coast is clear. Time for me to yell about Jesus.
Fair enough.
And I think the sergeant of arms, if there was actually a member of Congress up there saying something about the shutdown, she would have been shut down. She would have been taken by the army.
You mean
really
shut down with a tool, or just, well, like, quickly escorted out? Like, she
quickly
would.
Escorted, I think quickly out, escorted grab her by out. The arm and, what, and lead her to the door.
What I like is that she says that he will not be mocked. Jesus will not be mocked. Right? She's referring to God, which is to say that she thinks that the government shutdown ending by vote is a mockery of Jesus. So I'm just thinking, she's not thinking that clearly.
I'm going to agree with Becky on that, which is that there are certain people, and I'm going to say certain Christians in this country, who think that any vote that doesn't go their way is just another sign of the apocalypse. Everything is about God. You're mocking God because Congress did something procedural that I disagree with.
I can't go with that one. This is it, when there's a line that is crossed when you start saying this government is run and was built by Freemasons and has never been one nation under God. She's not somebody who's siding with the moral majority types. She's someone who sees herself as the one of the few believers in of truth and stuff like that. And it you know how these psychologies work. We've all seen this a million times before. We're just not used to seeing it on the floor of the House of Representatives. However,
at least not from the stenographer.
Right. Well, no,
from a member.
From anybody. Yeah. No. You see, you're no. This
Nobody's
is not something.
Talking about how if, crazy if a, Freemasons even, are
even even if like
a,
even if the most Christian, Christian Baptist House Representatives guy started ranting about the Freemasons. I mean, this isn't the 18th century anymore. This isn't the 19th century.
Yeah,
there is no anti-Mason party anymore.
No, but you'd be surprised how often that stuff comes out. I mean, remember we had a member of, I think it was the committee that regulated environmental issues.
Yeah.
That was saying that global warming is a farce.
Unrelated.
Because,
unrelated.
No, hold on.
No, I've heard it, but it's unrelated.
No, but it's the idea that there's some sort of net that keeps out really stupid, crazy ideas that you usually only see in like a comment section of the web.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, this is the stuff that gets out there. This is like YouTube commentary. These people become U.S. congressmen.
What I'm saying is that the Freemason thing is not sanctioned crazy. The God will not flood
destroy
the earth because
flood.
Noah, et cetera, et cetera. That's sanctioned crazy. Freemasons built the United States. That's unsanctioned crazy, which will get you spurned by sanctioned crazy people.
But at the same time, with the proliferation of people like Glenn Beck and Alex Jones, who are more popular than ever, it's amazing because conspiracy. Conspiracy
Wrong.
Theories are not this, you know, sanctioned or unsanctioned. That once you kind of fall into that mindset, anything is allowed in, and you'd be amazed at the.
When was the last time Glenn Beck was on TV as anything other than the punchline of a joke?
He still has millions of people who listen to it.
But not tens
internet
of
radio.
Millions anymore. You said he's more popular
millions.
Than ever.
He was,
that's
he was
demonstrably
spouting,
not
Sam,
true.
He was spouting that stuff at the height of his career. He was talking about a caliphate and a communist conspiracy to create the Egyptian and Wisconsin protests.
Not only that but then he went to Israel and said, ooh, I've decided and did the I'm going to become Jesus thing. And he didn't really, but he started playing those cards. And when he started ranting about that weird stuff, his popularity, Fox dropped him like a bad habit that he started hemorrhaging listeners. I mean, I pay attention,
actually,
to,
all of the,
I pay attention to radio. You said more popular than ever. That's not true. And
oh,
it's
no.
not because he started saying more crazy things. It's because he left sanctioned crazy and went into unsanctioned crazy.
I agree on that point. What I'm saying, though, is that he was still injecting this stuff into the body politic. bloodstream, that this crazy stuff became mainstream during the time at the height of his career. It was that it became more and more pronounced over the course of it, because you could tell that the leaders at Fox News were uncomfortable with the conspiracy stuff, and that's why he's not there anymore.
But the leaders of Fox News were uncomfortable with it because their ratings were dropping. The reason
he was still their number one show, though, however.
He was still the number one show because people started watching him for a joke, and the listenership of his radio show dropped like a stone. There is, for what little protection against bad ideas that we have here generally in America, Glenn Beck triggered it. That's just what happened. If that didn't happen, he'd still be on Fox News. He'd have 4 hours of show instead of 2 hours of show, and he'd be selling, I don't know, George Foreman sandwich makers? I don't know. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Be back in a minute, and stuff.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Billy, I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting! Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful it cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul save the universe.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Root.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Do you guys like my little Dennis Millerism at the end where I just cut and went to commercial like that?
Yeah, that went noticed.
Yeah, I'm a jerk. But we have people who are not jerks who I'd like to mention. I would like to thank Troy from Amber, Pennsylvania, Derek from Golden, Colorado, and Raphael from Baltimore, Maryland for meeting Peggy's challenge and helping us keep the lights on. We had a very successful streamathon, but we've not yet raised our fundraising goals. So in order to keep the show going, so by all means, if you feel it in you and you miss the streamathon, you can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the shiny yellow button, and that will go straight to our PayPal page.
One of my favorite things is people giving in creative denominations. So we have multiples of pi.
Yeah.
Since someone gave a pi.
I think Euler's number was in there once.
Yep. So give us multiple pies.
One time somebody gave us 3 cents.
3 cents.
3 cents.
Three.
Mm. It was
one,
awesome.
One for each of the hosts?
Yes.
I don't know.
How much
Thank you, though.
Because that's just what you're worth.
How much does the PayPal processing fee cut out of that?
Nothing. They just gave us 3 cents.
Okay.
So 75 million years ago, in this part of the galaxy, there was a galactic federation ruled by an evil overlord, Oprah Winfrey.
Huh?
Sorry.
Yes, Sam? 75 how many years ago?
75 million years ago.
That was trillion.
No. The Galactic Confederation was million. The trillion stuff is the previous stuff where he was a race car driver who kept beating his own record in successive lives.
So who is this Oprah?
I thought you were talking about the Kim regime there.
Well, Oprah Winfrey, Kim Jong-il, L. Ron Hubbard. You know how it is. So Oprah Winfrey's been in the news lately. So let's do a dramatic reading.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, Becky, why don't you take the part of Diana Nyad, the long distance swimmer who recently swam between Florida and Cuba?
Yeah, she started out in Cuba. It was a 110-mile journey.
Yeah,
went to Florida. So Diana Nyad on Oprah's Soul Searching Sunday?
Oh, was it Soul Search with Ed McMahon?
Super Soul Sunday.
Super Soul Sunday.
Super Soul Sunday.
Are the commercials $3 billion ago?
I bet you they're expensive on Oprah's show.
I don't know, but I want a kitten halftime. Anyway, Miss Nyad said, "I can stand at the beach's edge with the most devout Christian, Jew, Buddhist, go down the line and weep with the beauty of this universe and be moved by all of humanity. All the billions of people who have lived before us, who have loved and who have hurt. So to me, my definition of God is humanity and the love of humanity."
And then Oprah says, "Well, I don't call you an atheist then. I think if you believe in awe and wonder and the mystery, that is what God is. That is what God is. It's not a bearded guy in the sky."
It's not bearded, but I guess there's inference with God that there is a presence. There is either a creator or an overseer. I don't criticize anybody because you know what? That definition of life is, we will never know.
Right. So according to Galactic Overlord Oprah, guardian of the zeitgeist.
No.
You cannot have a sense of awe and wonder if you are an atheist.
Because the thing here is that Ms. Nyad says, "I'm an atheist." She's on the soul, super soul Sunday.
The vastness of the universe, the intricacies of physics, the beauty of music. Being able to swim 110 miles. None of these things in spa, awe or wonder, sometimes ire, but awe and wonder, because I'm an atheist. These emotions that I feel, they apparently don't exist, according to the guardian of the zeitgeist.
Well, they exist, and if you have them, you're immediately in a different category.
Oh, am I?
Well, if you feel awe, then you're not an atheist, because an atheist can't feel awe by definition.
Atheists are empty, sad people.
It's the Spock stereotype.
Wait, so because...
Why can I not feel your Earth emotions?
So because I believe in awe and wonder, I'm not an atheist anymore?
That's what she says.
Oh, well, I guess that's it. Good night, everybody!
Oh, well...
Kidding.
We still have an hour of show left, Sam.
What's so weird about this is, again, Oprah's not doing this to bully anybody. She's not trying to attack anybody. But what she's doing here is inadvertently hurting somebody with her privilege.
Incredibly dismissive.
She's not doing it with any sense of malice, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But she's doing it in a way to basically go, "Oh, well, that's this wonderful, rare, weird, Deepak Chopra-y spirituality that she believes, and that everyone must be that." It's like, no, it's possible to have all of these things and reject all of this nonsense that you sprinkle all over your show.
Right.
That's what she's saying, Diana Nyad is saying. She's trying to basically be part of this thing, saying, we feel these things too, we just don't attribute it to the supernatural.
Right.
That I can stand here with all of these people and have tears in my eyes and look at the beauty of the universe and feel all of these things. And she's like, "Oh, well, you're not an atheist then." But as if this basic human experience has God as a prerequisite for it.
She does have a long history of believing in various forms of flimflam. I mean, she is the person who brought us Dr. Phil.
And Dr. Oz.
And Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz, who has had shows about The Secret, who's had shows where he's endorsed psychics, where he's endorsed homeopathy.
Yeah.
Who else? Jenny McCarthy, who
right.
is the big...
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Well, she's the big denialist about any kind of vaccinations for children and thinks that they cause autism, which is a connection that's never been made. The single doctor who she would always cite for that has been had his medical license taken away from him.
Yeah. And his article revoked. And yeah.
So yeah, we're talking about things that have been completely discredited. And it turns out that perhaps her child didn't have autism at all in the first place.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of this stuff that's going around. I mean, there is a lot of really bad ideas that Oprah spreads on her show.
But this is a really great example of something that I don't think theists really understand that we experience as atheists. And this is so explicit and so obvious in this case because, I mean, in order to be... I don't know that Oprah can Winfrey can be more powerful in media circles. I think to be more powerful, she'd basically have to be the CEO of Clear Channel or something like that. She has magazines. She has her own cable channel. She has a million shows. People,
she's an actor. She does humanitarian efforts.
People scream about her like she's the Beatles when she arrives at town.
Oh, yeah. This is the big difference between her and, say, Ellen DeGeneres, because they're both talk show hosts.
Yeah.
But Ellen DeGeneres is just your funny friend on TV who likes to dance and talks to actors. And you like her because it's fun.
Yeah.
She also is an activist and a humanitarian, does humanitarian efforts, but yeah, she's not spreading her super soul stupid stuff.
This is the difference, is that Ellen DeGeneres doesn't set herself up as sort of a guru, which is something that Oprah does. Oprah probably has more in common with the Glenn Becks in that she sets herself up as, these are a bunch of, or a Billy Graham or something.
A guardian of the truth.
A guardian of the truth, but also, I'm bringing people on these shows who will show you a better way.
Yeah.
And that these, and she endorses them outright and says, these people are telling the truth. These people are right. You will be better and happier with
them. And an endorsement from Oprah
means
a lot. Is worth millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, that she can make people read.
Yeah.
I mean, she can make people, I mean, they're admittedly some of the most depressing books around.
Right.
But Oprah,
and she's picked some good books as well as some real stinkers. I mean, you know.
That's the thing I find really interesting with Oprah, is with all this power she has, and then most people who are really popular, like, say, Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson had a lot of power to move an audience to feel things.
Yeah.
But he never grabbed that power and used it to endorse ideology.
I would actually disagree about Johnny Carson, because I'm kind of a ridiculous Johnny Carson fan, but he did, like, when Uri Geller was in town, or the psychic surgery thing. Johnny Carson, having been a magician, was also a big supporter of skepticism, and regularly called upon James Randi for help in setting up these things. And I would say there's an ideological thing.
Because if you know that you have that power to convey all of that, you want to use it and bring in experts that can then help convey that particular bent.
But also, that was a really rare instance where it's
true.
Not like,
true.
That was the single thing. And also, usually what Johnny Carson would do is stand back and let people drown.
Yeah.
Not so much as bring in, it's not like James Randi was the guest. James Randi was just the guy that helped drown the guest.
Yeah.
And in this case, Oprah isn't somebody on one end of the spectrum like Ellen DeGeneres, which is just a show that's fun, or Maury Povich, which is a show that is lurid.
Hmm.
She's trying to be like, this is uplifting, and she's outright creating media stars on her show.
Yes.
For her own network. And it's like she has this like collection of jars with their souls in it. I mean, she has created
celebrity. That's what
celebrity.
Super Soul Sunday is?
Yeah, she's like, join the jars, Diana Nyad.
Wow, so we've come full circle. Apparently, Oprah Winfrey has one of those thetan-catching machines that Xenu used.
Absolutely. She brings them into the 3D
but
movie theater. So
there's something... There's something about this that just feels... What feels different about this than the usual at a bar somebody telling me I'm not really an atheist because I like pie is something autocratic. I mean, this is like somebody who's bringing an entire media machine to tell this person who's done an amazing thing that she's not what she thinks she is. She should fall in line with the privilege.
Well, yeah. Again, the thing with privilege is that you often don't know that you're exhibiting it. And
yeah.
I think in this case, she's basically saying, though I don't think this is what she intends, that you are incapable of a basic human mental function if you don't believe in God. And these things are completely separate, that we are all people. We all experience these things, believer or not. And I think it's just so insulting to be told that I'm less of a human being, that I'm a less complete human being because I don't believe in the supernatural. And that's essentially what she told her. And Diana Nyad is put in an impossible situation where she wants to be polite. The last thing you want to do is get, you know, head-to-head with Oprah because the crowd will tear you apart. Just look at James Fry. I mean, you don't want to be the bad guy on an Oprah show.
No.
Oprah usually doesn't have bad guys. But she's trying to basically assert herself in a very polite way, but Oprah just steamrolls over her.
Yeah.
What this is really reminiscent of for me is the experience that a past guest, Rebecca Vitzman, had with Wolf Blitzer.
Oh.
Is that both Wolf Blitzer and Oprah are assuming that if something amazing happened to you, or if you experienced any sense of gratitude or wonder or awe, that it has to be traced to God, right? Rebecca Vitzman survived, she and her baby survived their home being torn apart by a tornado. Mustn't she thank God? No, because she's an atheist.
Yeah.
All right. At least Wolf Blitzer gets flustered and says, oh, well, then, and doesn't try and say, well, you're not actually an atheist, right? I mean, in this case, you have Diana Nyad going back and saying, you know, oh, no, I think you can be an atheist who doesn't believe in an overarching being who created all of this. And then she kind of says there is some sense of spirituality when we as humans and as animals and plants and as living beings, you know, we all live together with something and we cherish it and we feel that treasure. And, you know, and you have someone that's going beyond what Wolf Blitzer did and saying, no, actually, really, you're not an atheist. I mean, this is a perfect time for Rebecca's quote to come back with a vengeance. Actually, I am an atheist, Oprah.
I have a question for both of you that I'd like to pose to both of you and get your answer. Mike, all right, she said this, and Oprah is somebody who sees herself as sort of, it's weird, but she likes to, like, solve problems, and she sees herself as a peacemaker occasionally from watching my mom watch the show a million years ago. Would you, and so I think it is definitely within the realm of possibility that Oprah would apologize. I think it's not a significant possibility, but I do think it's a non-zero chance. Do you think, would you accept an apology?
Yeah, I would. Okay. As long as it was clearly that she understood what the problem was.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, people will say things like, I'm sorry you were offended, which is kind of evading the whole thing.
Right.
I want her to give an apology that states that she understands why people were offended.
Yeah,
and if she understands that, then I'll accept it.
And here's what Oprah needs to say. She says, wow, I never considered that someone who is so impressed by the world and the natural world around us could actually be an atheist. I'd never considered that. Oprah herself has some weird form of spirituality. I mean, in this, she's kind of ridiculous. She's like, yes, I love nature too. I go out every morning and say, hello, trees. Like, she actually says
such it. Such a Homer Simpson moment.
It's kind of funny. But, I mean, maybe Oprah hadn't even considered that she might even be an atheist.
This is the thing that I find really ridiculous, and this is one of the reasons that I end up coming down harder on these sort of liberal, new agey, vaguely spiritual sorts of religion than I do on the hard ones, because I don't like the word spiritual. I don't like the idea that, you know, you're just being funny because you're just saying God. That's an immature kind of religion, saying God is this bearded man. They always go down that route, and I've seen this so many times. I'm sorry, I don't like the term spiritual because it's a nonsense word. It's a nonsense word because, at least if you say you're religious.
He's not sorry.
I'm not at all. That if you're somebody who says, I'm religious and I believe the world is 6,000 years old, you're putting yourself on the map somewhere. You're saying, this is what I believe, this is my stance. Spiritual is like, I want to have a place on the map, but I want to be so ephemeral that you can't actually criticize me because I'm saying absolutely nothing. I'm making a bunch of just pretty sounding noises and all the stuff that's coming out of my mouth, and I'm like, oh, I'm not talking about the bearded man, even though the bearded man is a mainstream belief held by a lot more people than believe in the happy friendly kitten beliefs that you have.
And even these happy new age kitten beliefs that you were talking about, otherwise called fluffy beliefs, you know, they have their darker sides too. They have their negative things. This is the problem when you start turning off evidence and stop paying attention to what's going on in the world around you, you're going to make a mistake and you're going to hurt people. I mean, that's just, there's a group of people out there who, in the atheism community, who want to reclaim the word spiritual, even though it's never meant anything other than spirits. I understand kind of what they're coming from, especially because this is Diana Nyad. Yeah. I think what she's talking about here when she talks about, go down the line and weep with the beauty of the universe and stuff like that, that's not something that has a supernatural overtone. She's not talking about the spirit world. She's talking about the universe, and she feels that sense of awe. And I think that's what they mean when they're talking about spiritual. I just think it's the wrong word to use.
Yeah, I don't like it because it has no overt, objective meaning. And this is the problem I have with the word, is that, and we had a whole episode about this a couple of years ago.
We did.
But when you say spiritual, it means absolutely nothing. It says it because you're trying to evade being pinned down. And when you're trying to evade being pinned down, what you're trying to do is have your cake and not be criticized for eating it.
Well said, Mike.
Yeah. It's such a weird thing that people will just, fall in line with stuff like that. Maybe not. I mean, that's kind of how religion works. Is Oprah-ism a thing?
I think to a certain degree it is. She's one of the few celebrities that if she actually had a group of worshipers, of any celebrity, I'd be most willing to believe that there would be an Oprah religion. Mm-hmm. Here's the scary thing. This is the thing that scares me more than anything. The level of devotion that people seem to have to her. If she on her show said, underneath your chair is a cup of poison, I want you to drink it right now, I think in any Oprah audience, there would be at least one person who would drink it.
That's creepy.
I think so. I think that, yeah. That's, I had never.
Not all of them, but one of them would.
Hi.
Wow. And on that shiny, happy note, this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back, we're going to talk about suing concepts.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Got a couple things to mention that you may be interested in. I have recently been on a couple podcasts. I am on the most recent episode of Wes's Atheist Nomads. So go ahead and... is that atheistnomads.com, I believe?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah. So you can Google it, and I'm on it. They do a pretty good show, and we had a fun time talking about things. I'm not used to not having to twiddle knobs and worry about show flow, so I sound a little different there.
Yeah, it looks a little weird to see you not operating a machine that the Wizard of Oz was using.
I was also on your podcast that was in the commercial in the last break.
Radio Versus the Martians, we like to call it the McLaughlin Group for Nerds. It's a panel show, I guess you could say, like the McLaughlin Group or shows like QI or Bill Maher's show, where I get a bunch of random people together. And in this case, Sam, we had you over to talk about Superman.
Which I know actually very little about. And surprisingly, I ended up referencing the Roman Empire and the fall of the Roman Empire a lot in that episode. It's weird because, well,
you
because
see that
of the
Sam really likes
the
his
movie.
Roman history.
I'm a history buff, whatever.
But I think also a point you did make, which is well taken and I think very true, is the idea of Superman as the humanist superhero. He's a humanist ideal that he doesn't protect people or save people out of a need for new worshipers or ask anything in return. Like, I need, you know, I'm like, I'll save you, but you got to,
part of his shtick is that he eschews that sort of thing. People want to worship, and he says, no, I'm not a god.
Yeah, goodness is its own reward and its own motivation.
Yeah. So, speaking of goodness being its own reward, and I mean that in the most sarcastic way possible, there's a man out there who wants to sue homosexuality.
What?
Yeah. Tea Party Unity Chairman Rick Scarborough wants to sue gay. Talking with Baptist preacher and HIV is God's punishment style moron Peter LaBarbera, he presented the idea at a Tea Party Unity event last Thursday. LaBarbera agreed, using the case of a high school kid counseled by a high school guidance counselor to be comfortable with their sexuality and subsequently contracting AIDS as standing for a class action lawsuit. While declining to mention who would be subpoenaed in such a lawsuit, these pillars of morality also discussed pushing Fox News to report on the wonderful stories of men and women who have left the homosexual lifestyle.
What?
Yeah, so the most salient thing there is, remember when we talked about Exodus International, closing and you said these people will be back?
Yeah.
They're back.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. I do want to dispute something he said, the wonderful stories of men and women who've left the homosexual lifestyle. I have never met one of these ex-gay people or seen an interview with one of them where they didn't look really kind of uncomfortable.
One of my favorite...
Like, I am happy. Yeah.
One of my favorite bits that Jeremy Whitman does is reading one of those books, basically, on stage. And I'm usually not a fan of reading at people for comedy, but he does such a masterful job of it, and the material is so nuts that it works. Now, I played for you my ringtone earlier, but this is what happens when I get a text message. So, yeah, this is going to be my text message noise eventually.
We need to work on our conservative alternate media to say, look, don't do the pro-gay thing. Why don't you rather step out and support these ex-gays? And we should encourage Fox News to tell their stories. Fox is now telling the stories of black conservatives because the other media is not doing that. We should all get on Fox and say, come on, tell the stories, these wonderful stories of happy men and women who've left the homosexual lifestyle.
Bob, Fox had a great... there's no one in the queue, I'd like to ask a question.
Go ahead, Rick.
Peter, the whole issue of a class action lawsuit, you and I have talked about this a little bit. I just wonder if you've explored that, talked to anyone about it. You know, obviously, statistically now, even the Center for Disease Control verifies that homosexuality much more likely leads to AIDS than smoking leads to cancer. And yet the entire nation has rejected smoking. Billions of dollars put in a trust fund to help cancer victims, and the tobacco industry was held accountable for that. Any thoughts on that kind of an approach?
Yeah, I think that's great. I would love to see it. You know, we always wanted to see one of the kid in high school who was counseled by the official school counselor to just be gay, and then he comes down with HIV. But we never really got the client for that.
I'm sorry, did he say the tobacco industry?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think he did.
Okay. Yeah, your leaders, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I take on that guidance counselor? Because, you know, I work in a high school.
Actually, yes. I would like to hear that.
So, you know, obviously, when we go in and have our high school career counseling day, we sit you down, you take a little personality test, you meet with your counselor, see what college you want to apply to. Maybe you want a career in journalism. Maybe you want a career in being a social worker, maybe a teacher, or maybe a career in gay.
Yeah, I just my high school guidance counselor sitting back in her chair and go, yeah, I think maybe you should be gay. Yeah, have you considered a career in gay?
How well does gay pay?
I don't know. Another question that you asked, which is interesting because I actually worked in this field, is who do you subpoena?
That's the thing, is that if I want, you know, who is gay? Not who is gay, but,
yeah, but who is gay?
I mean, if I want to mail gay a letter, where do I send it?
Serve gay? What jurisdiction is gay?
How does this work? The prosecution calls Elton
John. Is this
John?
A Hague Convention thing? How do I do that?
Yeah. The gay pack? I mean, who are we suing here?
Yeah. Evolution? What? Biology?
I sue the human DNA. I call it.
It's beyond human DNA.
Okay,
it's,
so we get all the people involved with the Human Genome Project and sue them for cuz.
There's no part of this
that
makes any sense.
It extends beyond just humans. It's the entire animal kingdom that homosexuality has been observed.
They're going to sue those penguins.
So if we,
not the penguins, the daddy penguins.
Yeah.
Oh.
So if this works, if they somehow get standing, and with that comment about the Supreme Court in the last segment,
they're not going to get standing.
Well, I'm not going to completely throw it out. If we're going to open the door to suing concepts, this is not a door these people want to open.
We can sue Christianity.
We can sue Christianity.
We can sue faith.
We can sue Catholic.
We can sue tall. We can sue fat.
We can sue dumb.
Yeah. And I at least I know where to send it now.
Yeah.
If I want to sue dumb, I'm going to mail it to this dude.
Ah, jeez.
How do you... I'm going to sue ugly.
Well, here's
the
thing.
How does that work?
These are religious leaders. These are people who feel that what they're doing has a primarily religious basis. But in order to bolster their argument... They don't just stick to the Bible. They don't just stick to what they do to make people believe that they're right is take on the scientific end of it.
Oh, what was that number quote statistic that he had?
It wasn't a specific number, but...
Oh, if I can say something really quick, this plays again to dig this dead horse up again.
Right.
The conspiracy mindset is that there are a lot of Christians in this country who really do think that there's a secret cabal of people that are pushing gay.
Absolutely.
And that there really is, whether they're Satanists or whether they're Freemasons or whatever.
That is sanctioned crazy.
I
I would say.
There is so many of these groups. And, I mean, we used to be on a public access show where the people there honestly believed the government was controlled by Satanists.
There are people who thought we were Obama plants, that the White House put us at scant.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing with conspiracy theories, is how narcissistic it is, because everything is about you, that everything the government does is about trying to hurt you or trying to stop your specific ideology, and it's like, he says, I'm going to go after gay, because clearly there's somebody in a smoke-filled room stroking a cat that is embodying gay.
So to get back to my earlier point, you guys did some research right before the show. Since they took on the mane of science, and since they said, you know, we're not going to convince you by referencing God, we're going to convince you by referencing science, that means they can be easily debunked. And according to the National Cancer Institute at cancer.gov, cigarette smoking causes an estimated 443,000 deaths each year, including approximately 49,000 deaths due to exposure to secondhand smoke. The Center for Disease Control said an estimated 28,500 LGBT people becoming newly infected with the HIV virus in the United States in 2010. An estimated 19,000 heterosexuals were infected in the same year. So in no way, we're talking about 30, 40,000 people contracting HIV, and we're talking about 500,000 people dying of cancer.
Not just getting cancer, but dying from cancer.
Yeah.
The numbers are skewed there, but if you look at the gay versus straight numbers for people's statistics getting infected with HIV,
right.
Yeah, there's probably a 60-40 lean, but it's still 40 on the other line. 60-40 is still considered a pretty tight race for a city council race.
And as you were saying, how much of that number is caused is social effects rather than anything biological? I would say the entirety of it.
Right. I mean, his argument is we spend so much money into stopping cigarette smoking and suing tobacco industry and stuff like that. Why don't we sue people that propose, being gay, because gay caused deaths and tobacco caused deaths?
Oh, where to start?
If your logic is based there, sir, I think you have greater problems than who to sue.
Yeah.
Pointing out that, that gayness exists is not the same as trying to convince somebody to be gay. You can't convince somebody to be gay.
Yeah.
They either are or they're not.
Well, these guys don't believe that. They
need to be tall, Sam. Be tall!
Okay.
I mean, this is just nonsense.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there are certain things that are inborn.
It's more than that. They try to convince you to be tall, and if you won't be tall, they take you to your be tall camp and shock you with stuff and put you on the rack until you are tall, and then you leave, and then your bones shatter, and people are surprised.
Yeah, the be tall machine was invented back in the Middle Ages.
Yes, it was.
I find this so amazing. But yeah, the idea that they're trying to go to science, and the truth is that they never do.
No.
Basically, they just lie because they know that the people who are likely to listen to that radio show don't care about these pesky little things called facts.
Well, and the thing I hear about facts is they're citing incidents of gay people dying of AIDS versus cigarette smoking people dying from cancer. And the thing is that there is evidence that tobacco exposure causes the cancer.
Yeah.
There is no evidence that merely being homosexual causes you to contract AIDS.
Yes.
There's
guys,
an intermediate step there.
Exactly. We're debunking. I know I wanted to do this, but I just want to make it, and because, I know some of our listeners are in places where they might hear this, so I wanted to have facts.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. We're debunking somebody who wants to sue
gay.
An adjective.
An orientation.
Wants to sue not a noun. How do you sue not a noun?
I'm going to sue orange. I think I'd probably send that to John Boehner.
We could sue hungry. We could sue hungry, and from the proceeds, we could feed people.
Hungry causes more suffering.
I'm
going to
sue poverty and end it forever.
Yeah, exactly.
We
could sue death and invest it in life extension treatment. I mean,
actually,
there are
living embodiments of death. They're just in fiction. Like, you call the Grim Reaper to the stand?
This reminds me, there's these stories. I don't know if they're apocryphal, but in the Middle Ages, there would be, this termite hill or something like that. Some group of animals that would hurt a village and eat crops.
Like a beaver dam.
Like a beaver dam. So they would put the beaver dam on trial. And they would convict the and then execute the beaver dam.
You know that the Vatican...
That's what this feels like.
The Vatican actually put a dead pope on trial.
They did put a dead pope on trial,
and then they
cut
his head off and threw him in the river, and another monk who felt bad about this whole thing, fished him out of the river and put him back in his grave.
Yeah.
But they cut his head off, and they humiliated him, but they put the corpse on trial.
Did they have somebody go, yes, I failed? Did they put googly eyes on him?
Puppet
Pope!
They pretty much did. They just put him in a chair and yelled at him. It's like Weekend at Bernie's meets Perry Mason.
My goodness.
There's a really good short drama, well, comedy drama play thing in there that we could do.
Are you saying you want us to dig up a corpse?
No, I want to say I want to do a play about
You're
digging
scaring
up.
Scaring me there.
I, what I'm saying is I want to do a play about digging up a pope, turning it into a Muppet, and putting it on trial.
So sort of a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern
inherent,
are dead.
Yeah, Inherent the Wind meets Muppets Attack Manhattan.
It's Muppets Take Manhattan, Sam, but I like the Muppet Attack.
Yeah, that's basically, with a little bit of Perry Mason thrown in. I think maybe we could be a fundraiser. I don't know.
I'll say Kickstart campaign.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great opportunity for somebody to come up with a dead Pope guy Muppet. I mean, how often are you going to be asked to make a dead Pope Muppet?
Honestly, it's greater than zero.
Well, yeah, because, one.
I think as soon as a Pope dies, you'd probably get a lot of offers.
Greater than your probable success in suing homosexuality.
Well done. All right, we got one more story. This comes to us, actually, Dan from Sweden sent us to this. And a man finds a Jesus fish in Sweden and sees it as a sign from God. Swedish salmon worker Lars Ludvigsson, I think, has dubbed a salmon with black belly scales in the shape of a cross Jesus salmon. He reported never having seen anything similar in his 30 years of work in the business. While he called the fish Jesus salmon for fun, he reported that other co-workers were convinced it was a sign from God.
See, now I want to sue dumb again. Here's the thing with a cross. This isn't like, say, like the Buddhist symbol or the Hindu symbol.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, this is not an intricate mandala. Yeah.
No, it's two pieces of line against each other. It's two perpendicular lines. And you know what? That stuff happens a lot when things fall on things.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have a mark on your body that looks like a religious symbol, that's pretty much the easiest one to get, aside from maybe a crescent. It turns out when you have a simple thing, the simple thing will happen in nature sometimes.
Yeah, I took a look at it, and I think the link will be up on the show notes, the show website in a little bit.
That's probably a good idea, yeah.
But it honestly looks like somebody took a black Sharpie to the belly of a salmon.
You know, it's a very well defined formation on the fish.
Yes.
But it's shown at an oblique angle. It's not shown like dead on. And it is a very sharp transition, not sharp as you would normally see on fish. And I've seen a few fish.
So this could be a burn from something. This could be
you might have something.
Getting beyond all of that, is this where the bar for miracle is these days?
Yes, it is.
Is this really we're impressed by this?
Yeah. Toast. Dog's butt. God. I mean, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Well, we did also have a cross on a fish earlier this year where someone had the imprint of the head of a little wood screw in her goldfish, in her Pepperidge Farms goldfish cracker.
Yeah, she had a wood screw. It was clearly the
head of a wood screw, which has a cross, right?
What a wood screw is doing in a Pepperidge Farm goldfish mix is something I don't want to think too hard about, right. But it's clearly what it was.
Well, don't just grab the handful of Pepperidge Farms crackers blindly, look at them first. And
see if there's a miracle.
Pass them through a metal detector and consume.
Exactly.
Well, oh boy. Maybe if the if a fish was caught with the symbol of the Church of Scientology on it, I'd give them a call and ask them what they're doing. I wouldn't believe that it's a sign from.
See, the thing is, you can put a L. Ron symbol. Hubbard. You can put the Scientology symbol on a fish, but you can't make a fish talk. As long as we're going to do miracles here, how about we actually do miracles here?
Weren't there miracles, supposed miracles involving fish, and none of them were drawing a cross on its stomach?
No, because that was pre. Getting hung up.
Pre-crucifixion.
So the cross didn't really. That would have been. I mean, dramatically, that would have been a great foreshadowing moment, you know, where he's giving out fishes, and oddly, the fishes all have crucifixes on them. And then later he's crucified, and he's like, oh, how ironic!
It's just so ridiculous. I just did that.
Sorry.
This is the thing with bad ideas, is that bad ideas, and again, with crying statues, again, with crackers and all this stuff, is that. If you really, really, really want it, you can make anything. Like a stain on a wall on the side of a building looks like the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Let's actually have something happen that can't happen.
Yeah.
If we're going to aim for, you know, the power of faith can move mountains, how about you move a friggin' mountain instead and go, oh my God, it's a cracker!
We're in Douglas Adams territory here. And speaking of miracles that involve fish.
Well, the Babel fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you
make
do something...
Make a fish speak. Make a fish translate.
If you could put a fish in your ear and it could make you understand any language in the universe, you'd have a much better miracle on your hand than you would to have, you know, just a cracker shape like that or that... Remember that telephone wire that was covered in ivy and looked like they had crucified swamp thing? I mean...
Oh, yeah! That was great!
again, this is a cross. It's basically just a thing falls on a thing.
Yeah.
This is nothing really exciting. And the fact that we get so excited about this just shows how desperate people are.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry, you look at the evidence and it's just not there. The cracker isn't going to undo it.
This is right out of human psychology. People are looking for signal in the noise. And
seeing signal in the noise has served us very well in the past and served our evolutionary ancestors in the past. It's gotten us out of tight situations that may have involved getting eaten by large cats, for instance. But hey, you know what? There's no large cats around to eat us right now. So stop associating your wood screw formations with your miracles.
Earlier in the show, you were talking about, speaking of nothing that we're talking about, you said the politically friendly Ku Klux Klan,
yes. Right,
with them. I recently found on YouTube a video of Christopher Hitchens interviewing one of those friendly KKK guys from the 90s.
Oh,
like from the early
90s. We're the KKK. We love white people.
Yeah,
we don't hate anybody.
Where it's Christopher Hitchens doing a talk show, which he hates doing, but he likes interviewing people. So it's this weird love hate. Like, Christopher Hitchens is having a love hate relationship with itself, with himself.
It's weird because you have showed me this footage, and it basically is him as both the best and worst talk show host of all time.
Yeah.
That when it comes to arguing with somebody, he's clearly enjoying that part, but he hates having to do interstitial things or introductions.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I just want to get out of here.
If you love advertising, your time has come. We'll be
Why
back.
Won't they let me drink now?
I know. a question I often ask. But the problem is that the audio was kind of it was on YouTube, but the audio wasn't great, and I actually spent a fair amount of time cleaning it up, so I might want to put that on YouTube, you know, the cleaned up audio version. I don't know. Oh boy, so them, who is that by again?
John Ronson, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. It's funny, and then it's scary, then it's funny, then it's scary again.
Right.
And if you want to find the parts that have Alex Jones in it, it's really easy. Just flip all the pages with all the all caps dialogue.
Alex Jones is in that book?
Oh, he hangs out with Alex Jones. They infiltrate Bohemian Grove, and both of them have a very different idea of what they see there. Alex Jones is convinced that they see the scene from Temple of Doom where they pull the dude's heart out, but John Ronson is like, I see a bunch of rich people act like frat boys.
And oh dear.
Very different interpretations, like the cracker.
Both
very
are not good.
Oh yeah, I see a bunch of rich people act really stupid.
Yeah,
and he's like, they're worshiping owls, and he's freaking out, and they're saying, you know, we can just walk away. And Alex Jones is getting into the mindset like he might have to escape on a mine car and stuff. And it's just nuts.
That's all the time we've got for today. This is Ask an Atheist. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. Next week is the CFI Summit, so we will not be live, but we'll see you the week after. Talk to you soon.
Clay Radio, your conversation station.